You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
3, 2, 1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Vern Lundquist joins me. Hall of Famer Jim Calhoun. NASCAR icon Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
Here Tour Sports Podcast. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. People, I hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody is having a great day, and we have ourselves a pretty straightforward Thursday Aaron Torres pot. What are we doing today? Well, we're reacting to all of the games on Wednesday night. We actually went live late on Wednesday after UConn Marquette, after Kentucky Vanderbilt, after, of course, Tennessee clinched an SEC regular season title. And so that is what today's show is. We are reacting to Wednesday night college hoops. We'll talk Tennessee, we'll talk Kentucky, we'll talk UConn. And I take a bunch of questions. Who's my national coach of the year? My All-Americans. A lot of college hoops on today's show. Friday, we'll get back to a more traditional Aaron Torres pod. We'll talk maybe about that Nick Saban ESPN interview. We'll preview the weekend ahead where we have Tennessee, Kentucky, where we have Carolina, Duke, where we have Houston, Kansas. It is another loaded final weekend of the college hoops regular season. And my hope is that we have some very cool announcements for Friday's show, including details on the Aaron Torres Pod Bracket Challenge, as well as some details on where I will be next week for Championship Week. With that said, what I want to do, take a quick break, come back, and when I come back, let's dive into a loaded Wednesday night slate. Tennessee winning the SEC, UConn, Marquette, Kentucky beating Vandy, on and on and on and on. Quick break, be right back.
Welcome in, everybody, to your Wednesday night college hoops post-game reaction. I'm your host, Aaron Torres. Everybody, come on in. We got ourselves a busy night of college hoops to react to, a lot to get into. It is the final Wednesday of the regular season, and I say screw it. Let's have some fun. Let's talk college hoops. Let's get into it. It's crazy because there was only about six or seven ranked teams that played tonight, but it felt like there was a lot at stake. So we are going to talk about Tennessee winning the SEC title. We are going to talk about Kentucky with a nice, solid win. You know it's going good for Kentucky when they break 90 and they're not even playing all that well. We'll talk about UConn winning at Marquette. It's not always pretty, but they survive. And oh, by the way, on top of that, we'll get to some of the other odds and ends. How about Will Wade and his McNeese Cowboys? So everybody come on in. Everybody come on in. It is a busy Wednesday night in college hoops, and we are going to react to it all. First of all, appreciate everybody's support. You know, we did this Tuesday night. We had over 700 live viewers at one point, so we appreciate everybody and everything that you're doing. And I'll tell you this, it is going to be a busy month here on the Aaron Torres Pod and Aaron Torres Pod YouTube channel. Later this week, I will give you details. We will have the Aaron Torres Pod Bracket Challenge, great prizes, all that good stuff. I will be in Vegas with producer Matt next week doing some live shows from, don't know if I'm allowed to give away the location just yet, but we will be doing live shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night from Vegas. And oh, by the way, we're going to ramp up straight through all of March. So excited for what we're doing. Speaking of March, by the way, I mentioned this last night, and I'm going to mention it again. We have our official March is for Day Drinking t-shirts. March is for Day Drinking. You see these bad boys right here? They are great. We have sold a ton. The link is in the show description. And I am here to tell you, this is your official day one of the NCAA tournament shirt. This is going to be the envy of all your friends. Marches for Day Drinking. We brought them out last year, sold a ton going into March Madness. We're going to do it again. The link is in the YouTube bio. The link is in the podcast feed for those of you who want to get one. Again, one more time. Marches for Day Drinking. You love it. It's awesome. Get yours now. Leave your questions, as always, in the comment section. We'll get to them momentarily. And should mention before we get started, really excited to announce that this episode is again brought to you by our partners, BetUS and BetUS Sportsbook. I've told you about them. I've been working with them all March. So excited for what they are doing for us with the Aaron Torres pod. And here's the deal. They have an incredible offer for listeners of the Aaron Torres pod. How about this, people? You get a 125% deposit bonus. A 125% deposit bonus when you sign up with the link again in the YouTube feed. Make sure to go ahead and take advantage of that 125% deposit bonus on your first three deposits, all thanks to BetUS. So thank you to BetUS for their support. With that said, let's go ahead and dive into a busy, busy Wednesday night of college hoops. I'll say this, last Wednesday of the college hoop season, and it felt like there was a lot at stake. So we're going to talk about everything, but I think the only real place to start is in Columbia, South Carolina, where the Tennessee Vols went to South Carolina. South Carolina ranked in the top 20. Many believe that Lamont Paris should probably be maybe National Coach of the Year, certainly SEC Coach of the Year, and Tennessee with the chance to clinch the SEC outright, okay? And when I look at Tennessee, this is what stands out to me. I have said all year, I believe this team is different. But it was a week and a half ago, they destroyed Texas A&M at home, four games left in the regular season. And I remember saying, if this team really is the best team in the SEC, they are going to have a chance to earn it, okay? Last week, they beat Auburn at home. But then, look at what the schedule was. It was at Alabama, at South Carolina. A week ago, going into the weekend, remember, Tennessee and Alabama were tied atop the SEC standing. South Carolina was in third. So to win the SEC title, you had to beat essentially the second and third best teams in the league on the road, and they do it. Congratulations to the Tennessee Volunteers, your 2024 SEC champs. And when I look at this game, a couple things stand out. One, incredible win. But two, this is a lot of like what we talked about on Saturday when it came to the game at Alabama. Everybody wants to talk Dalton Knecht. And listen, I was a guy a week ago pushing for him potentially for National Player of the Year. Well, he was awesome on Wednesday night. But you know why Tennessee won this game? It is because Tennessee once again locked in on defense. Credit to the Tennessee Vols as they held South Carolina, and I know South Carolina isn't an elite offensive team, but they held South Carolina to 59 points on their home court. And oh, by the way, how about this? 38% shooting from the field, 27% shooting from three. And so you look at this Tennessee team. Listen, we all get caught up with Dalton Knecht, but the bottom line is this team is once again elite defensively. And so when you're elite defensively, guess what happens? You're in every game, and then you have the dude that can put you over the top in Dalton Knecht. And so all I'll say about Tennessee, listen, man, I keep saying it, and I keep getting criticized, and people keep saying every time I say something nice about Tennessee, Torres, they're overrated. Rick Barnes is going to lose in March like he always does, okay? Well, one, there's only one guy that wins the chance. There's only one guy gets cut down the nets at the end of the year. But two, on top of that, here's the thing about Tennessee. I really do believe this team is different because there have been years they were great in the regular season. One, the SEC wasn't this good. This is the best SEC that I can ever remember. Florida's good. South Carolina's good. Ole Miss is not a pushover. Mississippi State is not a pushover. Georgia's not a pushover. So outside of Missouri, outside of Vandy, there are no auto wins in this league. And so I bring it up because it's the best conference ever, but this team I really feel like is different. It doesn't guarantee anything in March in the NCAA tournament, but I believe they truly do have all the pieces because it's not just about the defense, but they have the guy that can get you 30 or 40 on any given night. So congrats to the Tennessee Vols. The defense showed up on the road. They earned this one. They have Kentucky on Saturday. The SEC has been clinched, but you talk about a great game. We're going to get to Kentucky in a minute because I was blown away by how they were just able to run away from Vandy on Wednesday night. We'll talk about that in a minute. But congrats to Tennessee. Two quick thoughts on Tennessee before we switch gears and get to Kentucky. I think this is going to be a little bit of a quicker one of these reactionary shows. But first off, let me say this. Producer Matt, can you throw up the tweet from earlier tonight? So I saw a tweet. So I have two Tennessee thoughts that drove me crazy. First of all, Andrew Perlov, who I think is with CBS Sports Radio right now. Did you see this tweet whining because Dalton Kinect had the audacity to point to his ring finger after Tennessee won the SEC championship, okay? So Andrew Perlov, CBS Sports Radio, says, winning a regular season SEC title gets the ring celebration. Dalton Kinect is incredible, but gotta have bigger tournament goals. Can I just say, that is some loser. I'm just going to say, I don't care. He's not my friend. I don't know who Andrew Perlov is, and I don't generally criticize other media members, but I'm going to say it. That's some loser beta energy right there, okay? Because here's the bottom line. First of all, think about who Dalton Kinect is. Think about the fact that this guy, this was a guy that 4 years ago had zero Division I scholarship offers. He went to a JUCO in, what was it? I think it was Colorado. Goes to a JUCO in Colorado. From there, goes to Northern Colorado. Last year, he was on a terrible Northern Colorado team. So 4 years ago, he doesn't even know if he's ever going to have the chance to play D1. Last year, he's at Northern Colorado. He goes to Tennessee. He picks Tennessee. He is the piece that helped get them to an SEC title. And you're complaining because this guy, who never could have imagined in his wildest dreams that he would play at this level in front of 18, 20,000 people a night, is celebrating? Give me a break. Here's the other thing about this. So I'm a UConn guy. We're going to talk UConn Marquette in a minute. Here is the crazy thing about this, though. Keep in mind, UConn, and we talked about it on Monday's show, they clinched the Big East title at home on Sunday afternoon against Seton Hall. We talked to Hassan Diarra about it on Monday. But UConn, after winning the Big East title, remember, UConn won the national championship last year. UConn cut down the nets at home. And as Hassan Diarra told us on Monday, he said, we wanted to celebrate and soak in that moment a year's worth of hard work. So forgive Dalton Kinect for having the audacity to be happy that he just won a ring and put up a banner in Thompson Bowling Arena that will be there as long as they play basketball in Knoxville, as long as the Tennessee Vols play. So congrats to Tennessee. The only other Tennessee thought is this. I actually think they have the inside track for the fourth number one seed right now. So I don't really see a scenario where Purdue, Houston, and UConn, all three of those teams, it feels to me, are going to get the number one seeds. Tennessee and Arizona really are the two teams that I believe have kind of the inside track to get that fourth number one seed. So I'll be blunt. I've been high on Arizona all year. I still am. I keep telling Tennessee fans, be careful what you wish for, because you get that number one seed in the West and Arizona's the two seed, you're going to be basically playing a road game in the Elite Eight if you get Arizona. But it doesn't change the fact that when you look at this game, or you look at this situation, Tennessee, I believe, is in a great position to get the fourth number one seed. In theory, you beat Kentucky, you're probably in pretty good shape going to the SEC tournament. But I think if you win the SEC tournament, certainly if you beat Kentucky, you're getting it. If you don't beat Kentucky, then it gets a little precarious. It will be interesting. I still think they have the inside track because Arizona just isn't going to have big games. And it kind of sucks for Arizona. UCLA and USC, who they're playing this weekend, are not good. So to me, Tennessee has the inside track on that fourth number one seed. Now, it is worth noting. It is worth noting. Any Tennessee fan will tell you. Any Kentucky fan will tell you. We kind of have a history of the SEC championship game really not meaning much for seeding purposes. So just be warned there, because who the heck knows? Maybe, you know, maybe Tennessee has a bunch of success and wins the SEC tournament and it doesn't end up mattering. I don't know. But to me, I feel like this is the team that should have the fourth number one seed, depending on what they do, depending on what Arizona does going forward. But congrats to Tennessee on winning the SEC title. Let's get to some other results, and let's actually switch gears and stay in the SEC. Let's talk about the team that Tennessee is playing on Saturday at Thompson Bowling Arena. That is the Kentucky Wildcats, man. And I'll tell you this. I know that a Kentucky-Vanderbilt game isn't supposed to move the needle. It's not more important than UConn-Marquette or some of the other games from Wednesday night in college hoops. And it was a busy, busy, busy night. By the way, it does look like Iowa State did hold on to beat BYU 68-63. That's noteworthy because Torres won another best bet. That's 5-1 in the last six bets. But we'll get to that one later. Let's stick with Kentucky because let me say this. So Kentucky last year, and I know it's Vanderbilt, right? And you don't want to get too excited. You don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low, whatever. But Kentucky, remember, last year on senior day, lost to Vanderbilt at home, okay? And so one, Vandy was better. But two, what stood out to me about this game for Kentucky is pretty straightforward. This was a very close game early on. Vanderbilt could do no wrong early on. And then Kentucky goes on what? Like a 16-6 run to close the first half, something like that. And then they put up 48 points in the second half. And on an off night where they really didn't play that well. You understand that on an off night when Kentucky did not play well, they put up 93 points on the Vanderbilt Commodores. And so when I look at this Kentucky team, listen, man, I continue to just be so impressed by this team, what they're about, what they do on any given night. Now, I know this is Kentucky. I know that all that ultimately matters is what they do in the SEC tournament and what they do in March. But this is a team now that, remember, they are a buzzer beater away from being on a 7-game win streak going into Tennessee Saturday. That includes a win at Auburn. That includes destroying Alabama at home. That includes beating an Ole Miss team, which was good at the time, Mississippi State, obviously, in that Reed Shepherd iconic game. But when you put up 93 and you didn't even play well, like, what are we even talking about? It's unbelievable. And I think if you're a Kentucky fan, here's the thing you got to be excited about. One, you put up 93 on a night that you didn't play well. But two, look at who contributed. First of all, DJ Wagner was very good again, especially early in this game. He only finished with 11 points, but I think he had all 11 early in the game. Could be mistaken on that. But why that's important is because just think about it. You add that guy to all of the other weapons that Kentucky has. That is terrifying. Remember, DJ Wagner is the former number one high school recruit in America. He was supposed to be the best freshman. And he's been at times overshadowed by Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham, but I've been saying all season, like, I think this kid has the potential of all of them. It's just that we've known about him since he was an eighth grader, so we got tired of talking about him, and we were excited about the new shiny object, which in this case was Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepherd. So on a night where Reed Shepherd, quote-unquote, only has 8 points, now it's because he got 11 assists, he was passing the ball like freaking Magic Johnson out there, you still win the game and put up 93, when one of your stars, Reed Shepherd, only has 8. Rob Dillingham starts slow, ends up with 23, and Kentucky gets the win. Antonio Reeves, by the way, 20 points in his final game at Rupp Arena. I know it's been a talk in Kentucky fan land. You're right, Kentucky fans. I don't know if I'll do an All-American team, but Antonio Reeves is like a second-team All-American. There is no doubt that this guy is playing at an elite level. Every night, the guy is just good for 20. And here's the crazy part, 20 points against Vandy, he only had 1 3-pointer, averaging 20 on the year coming into the season, 44% shooting from three. Listen, he's not going to win SEC Player of the Year over Dalton Connect, but he is so, so, so good. Credit to Kentucky for doing what they had to do against Vanderbilt. Let's rip through some other scores from the night. One, number one, Houston wins against Central Florida, 67-59 in that one. Another game. Did not come out great, but they get the win. Houston, in my opinion, has clinched the number one seed. There's nothing that can happen that will not allow them to get it. They, of course, have Kansas at home on Saturday. They have to win to clinch the number one seed. If they lose and Iowa State beats Kansas State, then there is a tie atop the Big 12 standings. Iowa State, by the way, takes care of BYU. The big story there, of course, Torres' best bet was the under of 145.5, and it hits with ease in a 68-63 final. So Iowa State beats BYU. Really quickly, the other big game of note that I do want to talk about, UConn on the road. Remember, UConn just clinched the Big East regular season title, as we talked about, as we discussed. Well, UConn gets the win on the road at Marquette, 74-67. Now, look, listen, this was a top 10 matchup. I easily could have led with it. The game did lose a little bit of juice. Tyler Kolek, star point guard for Marquette, reigning Big East player of the year. He was out for this game with an oblique injury. But again, these are two teams that genuinely do not like each other. We've talked about this on this show. Remember, Marquette won the Big East regular season last year, won the Big East tournament. That has been a thorn in the side of UConn all year. They took it out on Marquette a few weeks ago in Hartford. But going into this game, there was still a lot at stake, even though UConn won the Big East outright title. You don't want to lose to Marquette. And here's the crazy part. You know, this is one of the most incredible stats I've ever heard. You know, UConn hadn't won a road game against a top 25 team. Take a guess. Take a guess the last time UConn won a road game against a top 25 team. Do not go to the Torres on UConn Twitter account, because that stat is out there. How about this? The last time they won a road game against a top 25 team, January 2014. It'd been 10 years since they won a road game against a top 25 team. Two national championships since then. One of those crazy UConn stats, but they get the win. This was a wild game. They were in complete control early. Marquette, to its credit, battled back, got it within a few, was not able to kind of get over the hump and get the win. Weird game. UConn, again, dominant first half. UConn had like a 2-1 rebound advantage in the first half. I think they had 11 assists on 16 made baskets, something like that. Second half, weird because Cam Spencer, their star guard, got a technical foul on a made three. And I don't know that they ever fully got their mojo back, because, I mean, that was a big momentum dagger three. The crowd was dead. It was a BS call, by the way, for people who didn't see it. All Cam Spencer did was turn and stare and make faces at the crowd. It's like, give me a freaking break. UConn didn't really feel like they had the same juice, because UConn's an energy emotion team, and that kind of took the energy out of them. But they hold on to get the win. Really, really, really intense game. I think the big thing for UConn, from my perspective, Alex Caravan, who was a starter on last year's national championship team, he got hurt in the middle of the year, and he just hasn't totally been the same guy since then. Still playing well, averaging 14 points a game, 14 points a game, 38% from three, but you watch the games, he really hasn't been the same dude. Over the last couple games, he had 13 against Seton Hall on Sunday, but before that had not scored in double figures in three straight games. Well, 23 points for him, 5 3-pointers made. I think, to me, listen, I don't know if UConn has X factors. All five guys on this team can score at any moment on the court, any given time. Bill Raftery, Jason Benetti talked about it during the broadcast, but you now add him with Tristan Newton, with Cam Spencer. That is a lethal trio of really backcourt guys. Caravan's a forward that can actually play the center when needed. But you start talking about three guys that can get you really 25 on any given night. And that doesn't even include Donovan Klingon, 9 points, 12 boards, 4 blocks in this game. Be interesting to see what happens going into the Big East tournament. UConn, by the way, at Providence. Providence is on the fringes of the bubble right now. Providence needs that win to get back into the tournament picture. But it'll be interesting to see what would happen when these two, if they meet up in Madison Square Garden at the Big East tournament. UConn has clinched the number one seed. But what's interesting is, you know, Marquette, can they get healthy and can they get back on track and can they get Tyler Kolek back? I think the problem for Marquette, I just think UConn's a bad matchup for them. UConn is so big, so physical, dominates the glass, and they're just as athletic as Marquette. So Marquette, what they try to do They try to force turnovers. They try to speed you up. UConn can play that game. And so you look at how Marquette wants to beat you. UConn can beat them at their own game, and they can beat you at UConn can beat you at their game, which is size and physicality on the glass. So UConn gets the win. I don't think there's an amazing takeaway. Marquette's got to get healthy. Big East tournament is going to be great. If I wasn't going to be in Vegas for the five conference tournaments that are going on in Vegas next week, I would love to be in New York. So UConn gets the win. Really quickly, if you have any questions, make sure to drop them in. A quick reminder, if you missed it earlier, March is for day drinking. These are your official March t-shirts. These are the official shirts that you want for the opening night of the NCAA tournament. You want them. You want to be the envy of all your friends. Go ahead. The link is in the show description. The details are also on the ticker. Appreciate everybody's support. We've been selling them like crazy. March is for day drinking, baby. March is for day drinking. Get yours now. Quickly, by the way, make sure to drop your questions. I will get to them at the end. Couple more results that I want to get to. We'll get to some of the bubble stuff in a minute. I want to give a shout out to a guy that some of you may have forgotten about. You know that Will Wade, remember Will Wade? He's at McNeese State this year, okay? McNeese State finished their regular season on Wednesday night. They finished 28-3 overall. They've lost one game since Thanksgiving. They finished 17-1 in league play. And so I was always a Will Wade guy. I know what you think you heard on a wiretap, and it's a big deal. It's the end of the world. Well, I was always saying, like, Will Wade, you look at some of his best players at LSU, Tari Eason, guys like that. You understand that, like, this guy is a great eye for talent, a great recruiter, a great developer, whatever. By the way, this is the NIL world. But I bring it up because I always said he's a great coach. Well, he's at McNeese State in Lake Charles, Louisiana. By the way, Lake Charles, to quote Kramer in Seinfeld, Lake Charles, I spent a month there one night, okay? I've been to Lake Charles. It's a great spot. But he has McNeese State rolling. You know what's crazy? They're 28-3, 17-1 in the league. You know they host their conference tournament. So they will, in theory, have a decided home court advantage in the conference tournament if they win that conference tournament. That's going to be like an 11-12 type team. And that is not a team that you want to see in your bracket. So credit to McNeese State. Credit to Will Wade. By the way, their best player, Shahada Wells, came from TCU. He was a guy that was getting buckets. He went into Allen Fieldhouse last year and lit Kansas on fire. So I'm just telling you, beware of Will Wade. What do they call him? The general, the American gangster, whatever you want to call him. And I'll say this. We're going to do a lot of coaching carousel stuff. I don't know that he's in a rush to leave McNeese State. And I don't know that this year is the year that he probably will be hired away. But somebody in the SEC or whatever is going to have a chance to get him. And I'm just telling you, man, like, that's a dude. If I was a, you know, whoever, I don't think Louisville is like the right spot for him. But if Louisville hires a Chris Beard, a Scott Drew, an Eric Musselman, Will Wade would be one of my calls. That guy wins and wins big everywhere he goes and wins immediately. Couple other notes from Wednesday night. Thought this was interesting. So Indiana beats Minnesota, but that's not really the story here. The story is that for at least one more season, my boy Mike Effin Woodson is coming back to Indiana. So we talked about this about 2-3 weeks ago. Indiana was struggling, and there was some real push in the fan base that Mike Woodson should not be back for a fourth year. Now, I didn't really understand it. Mike Woodson, first 2 years, not only made the NCAA tournament, but on top of making the NCAA tournament, he also won a game in each of his first 2 years. Now, one of them was in the first four play-in thing, but at the same time, first 2 years NCAA tournament, wins a game in each year, didn't think he should be on the hot seat, but there was some push that he should be out. And it was interesting because it came out this week that his contract is kind of one of those Bobby Bonilla type contracts where he has a $12 million buyout, but it can be paid out over the course of like 10 or 12 years. So basically it will be paid out $1 million a year at a time. So Indiana could have fired him and gotten out of the contract pretty easily, but they decide to keep him. With that said, Indiana gets a third straight win. They win at Minnesota. Indiana now 17-13 with a game against Michigan State to end the regular season. Indiana, if they win that game, 18-13, they will also be on top of that 10-10 in league play. So that's something worth noting there. And Indiana is going to be an interesting team going into the Big Ten tournament because I think they can win some games there. I just mentioned Michigan State. You know, Michigan State probably a little closer to the bubble than I think a lot of people maybe consider. They came into the night 17-12, 9-9 in the Big Ten. They were hosting Northwestern. I don't know that losing to Northwestern would have been like a bubble burst type thing. But I could have seen the scenario. You lose to Northwestern, that could have been like a first four in, last four out kind of deal going into the last weekend. Tom Izzo, you know, everybody craps on John Calipari about, oh, he's lost his touch. Like, Tom Izzo has been struggling the last few years. They beat Northwestern. Michigan State's going to be in the tournament. I don't know how much damage they could do. The other big result of note on the bubble, Seton Hall, baby. Seton Hall, the Pirates get the win at home against Villanova. They were one of Joe Lenardi's last or first four out coming into tonight. They get the victory. So they, I believe Joe Lenardi has already put out an updated bracket where they're now in the field. Seton Hall feels like a team. Couple things. One, they played DePaul at home on Saturday. I'll say, we'll tell you what, don't lose that game, Seton Hall. But then two, still feels like they may have to win a game at the conference tournament. Right now they are currently the four seed, would be projected to actually play St. John's in the opening round. That feels like kind of a loser, might be off the bubble type game. So Seton Hall still has work to do, but they get the win against Villanova. That was really the notable bubble game of the night. But yeah, busy, busy, busy week of college hoops. Producer Matt, before we get out of here, do we have any questions for today from tonight's show? Appreciate everybody's support. The numbers have been insane. By the way, I mentioned it earlier. We will be going live. First of all, we'll have our live Friday show tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern, so make sure you're locked in there. We will be going live next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in Vegas. I'll give you some details next week. We'll be going live every morning to preview the games at, you know, 11 a.m. Eastern time, previewing the games. But we will be going live 11 p.m. post-game to react to these games as well. So make sure you're locked in. Again, I'll have some details there momentarily. Any interesting questions, Matt, before we get out of here? Chuck says, UConn would run Tennessee out of the gym. I don't think so. I mean, UConn doesn't like UConn has had a lot of great games where they've destroyed people like Seton Hall on Saturday, but they didn't run Marquette out of the gym today. They didn't run Providence out of the gym a few weeks ago. They did, you know, like they've had their games where they you know, it's a grind to the finish line. The Butler game a few weeks ago was a struggle. I think they're both physical. I think they're both tough. I'd actually like to see that matchup. I think Tennessee is actually one of the few teams that actually matches up pretty well with UConn because they have the size and athleticism, but again, they have the scoring to make a difference. I'll say this for Tennessee too, and I didn't mention it earlier. I thought Jimmy Dykes brought up a great point about Tennessee. Tennessee made the Sweet 16 last year. Okay, remember, they beat Duke in the second round. They lose to Florida Atlantic. They beat Duke. That was the game where it became like a national controversy. Are they too physical? Are they this? Are they that? Whatever. And I bring it up because they go to the Sweet 16, they lose to Florida Atlantic. But as Jimmy Dykes said today, they didn't have Dalton Connect, and they didn't have Zakai Ziegler, their starting point guard, who was out with an injury last year. He's obviously back this year. Dalton Connect is in this year. And I think it's kind of worth noting, the two best players on the court for Tennessee were not on the court for them last year when they went to the Sweet 16. So listen, I get it. Until Tennessee makes that run, everybody is going to doubt that they're actually capable of doing it. I'm not saying that they will, but do I think they can? Absolutely. And I got to see a bracket too. That's the other thing. I've gotten a lot of that the last couple of days. Well, how far can this team go? Well, how far can that team go? Well, who's your final four with a week to go? And it's like, people, Tora's got to see a bracket before I just start giving out final four picks. I'll tell you, I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, It was the year Arizona, Villanova, and Tennessee were all in the same region. Arizona was the one seed. Tennessee, that was the year they kind of got screwed out of the two. They should have been a two. Duke ends up getting the two. And then the bracket plays out, and you're like, all these teams are awesome. Somebody's got to win. So I hate doing the whole, like, this is my Final Four with a week to go. I got to see who's there. I think on Friday's show, I'm going to give you the – I think there's about seven teams that I truly believe can win the national championship. We'll probably discuss that, but we'll get to that on Friday's show. Producer Matt, any other questions before we get out of here? Kentucky has more talent than anyone in the SEC, but they're just so inconsistent and can't guard a light pole half the time. You know, I brought this up on Monday's show. I get that at Kentucky, the standard is national championships. I get that it's a Final Four. I get that Kentucky has not been to a Final Four since 2015. I'm also kind of blown away how so many fans don't seem to be enjoying this season. Like, they enjoy the season, but they're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I'm not saying that I don't get it, but I also sort of don't get it. Because a couple things with Kentucky, I think we even saw it tonight. At the end of the day with Kentucky, because they are so gifted offensively, there is no deficit that they cannot come back from. So I understand everyone's like, well, we give up too many points. It's like, yeah, but you can be down 12, 4 minutes into the game and win the game by 15. But there's a lot of Kentucky fans that I've seen, that I've talked to, that have texted me, that have DM'd me, whatever, that have been like, oh, this defense, whatever. It's like, just enjoy the season. You have an incredible group of talented players. And by the way, I think you can still beat anybody in this tournament. Now, again, will the defense be good enough? I don't know. But you start looking at the teams that you're actually scared of if you're a Kentucky fan, I don't think there's that many. I don't think there's that many that Kentucky can't beat. That was from Dawson Yount, by the way. Any other questions, Matt, before we get out of here? Super chat. Kentucky goes in Knoxville and knocks off the Vols. Pressure washing from Sterling. Pressure wash from Sterling. I appreciate your support. We're going to be in Vegas next week. I will use your super chat money to good use. I'll say this. I think Kentucky might do it. We'll see what the line is from BetUS. I think Kentucky might go to Tennessee and win. Because the thing about Kentucky, you don't have to worry about them in kind of the low-profile games or the high-profile games. You got to worry about them against Vanderbilt at home, against Arkansas at home. You don't have to worry about them at Auburn, at Mississippi State, Alabama at home. You know, North Carolina earlier in the year. They show up for the big games. And I think they're going to have – in Tennessee, they have won the SEC. I'm not saying they're not going to be ready. They're a really well-coached team. But remember that game at Rupp Arena? Kentucky fell down like, what, 18-4 or something? And all of a sudden you look up and it's a close game. And remember, that was without DJ Wagner. I don't want to make an official prediction yet. I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility, though, that Kentucky could get the win. We'll discuss that on Friday's show, by the way. By the way, if you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe to YouTube. Make sure to also subscribe Apple, Spotify, so you can get podcasts as well. Any other questions, drop your questions in. Producer Matt is funneling them to me. Kentucky Super Bowl coming up. Tennessee is going to rest their starters. Wow. What are they, the Kansas City Chiefs? Is there, I know they clinched the SEC regular season title, but I think they're still playing for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I think Tennessee's starters will play. It is going to be funny, though. If Kentucky wins, that's what the Tennessee thing is going to be. Well, you know, I mean, we weren't really focused. We already clinched the number one seed. We're just focused on getting ready for Nashville. Yeah, we'll see. By the way, we'll have a full preview of all these games on the Friday Aaron Torres pod, Kentucky, Tennessee, Carolina, Duke. There's a couple other big ones. I can't remember what else. I know, you know, Wisconsin, Purdue looked big for a while. It's not now. Laren says, whoever Viscovi guards is dropping 30. Listen, let me give Viscovi and Josiah Jordan James from Tennessee a little bit of credit, okay? Those are two guys that have been stars of this team, that are fifth-year guys, that have taken a back seat so Dalton Kinnett can freaking cook this season. I know it's easy to make fun of all these guys, but, like, I give him credit. Viscovi, yeah, he's not elite defensively. I'm not going to lie and say he is. But those are veteran guys that at times in their careers were the best player on this team, and they have just given up that role so that Dalton Knecht can cook. This is the best version of Tennessee. Listen, I can't wait till we get a bracket just so I can figure out if I actually believe Tennessee is going to make a run this year, if I actually believe if I actually believe that Kentucky's going to make a run. I'll tell you this. I really think we're going to get a great Final Four. I could be crazy. I think there's about 7-8 teams that really are cut above everybody else. I don't think this is a year that we get like last year, a San Diego State, a Florida Atlantic, a Loyola Chicago. I think the teams we're going to get are like the Kentuckys, the Arizonas, the UConns, the Houstons, maybe Purdue. I don't know. I just think there's like 6 or 7 teams that are just significantly better than everybody else. I can't wait till we get a bracket. By the way, it goes without saying, next week, live shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We will obviously have some sort of major bracket show on Selection Sunday. We'll get you some details there. Again, by the way, make sure you're paying attention. We will also be announcing details for our Aaron Torres Pod Bracket Challenge. Going to be giving away a lot of money over the course of the next couple weeks. Producer Matt, Coach Dan Hurley will be Coach of the Year with UConn. Drew Donovan asked that. Listen, Dan Hurley should be National Coach of the Year, okay? And this is always a big talking point, is that, like, the best coaches never win National Coach of the Year. Like, I could be mistaken on this. I think Coach K won National Coach of the Year one time. In my opinion, there is no doubt Dan Hurley should be your National Coach of the Year. Because you look at – listen, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this, okay? It's not like – like, UConn is really the first legitimate team since Florida – that really has a chance to go back-to-back in close to 20 years. But what's crazy about that Florida team, they returned everybody from the year before. UConn lost its top 3 players all to the pros. Andre Jackson with the Milwaukee Bucks, Adama Sanogo with the Chicago Bulls, Jordan Hawkins, lottery pick with the New Orleans Hornets, or Pelicans. What are they? The Pelicans, I guess. Whatever. Like, it's one thing to be able to repeat because you return your whole team, like Duke did in the early 90s, like Florida did in 06, 07. UConn lost a ton. Now, they brought back Klingon and Caravan and Tristan Newton. But I think Dan Hurley is the no-doubt National Coach of the Year. To have that team as a lock number one seed win the Big East regular season when you didn't win it previously, I think it's a no-brainer. Respect to Lamont Paris. I think some of the other guys have fallen off. I thought Nate Oates had a strong case for until the last week. Trying to think of who else would be in the mix. By the way, don't sell me on Matt Painter. I've seen some other media members. Like, don't sell me on Matt Painter, please. I don't know what we're doing. Maybe Kelvin Sampson. I think Kelvin Sampson actually has a strong case as well. First year in the Big 12, he's going to win it outright with a win against Kansas. Don't know what else there is to say. But Dan Hurley would be my National Coach of the Year. What else we got? What else we got? What else we got? Anything else? Anything else? Anything else before we go? I think that's it. I think that's it. It's a good little 40 minutes on a Wednesday night. Last Wednesday of the college hoop season. Cannot believe that we are here. So I've said it a few times, but a couple things. One, if you're not subscribed to YouTube, make sure to do so. We are going to be doing all sorts of live stuff over these next couple weeks, so make sure you're doing that. Make sure you're subscribed to the Aaron Torres Pod podcast, Apple, Spotify, new episodes every single day basically at this point. Make sure to get your Marches for Day Drinking t-shirts, Marches for Day Drinking, envy of all of your friends. The link is in the show description here on YouTube. I really think that's it. We'll have our normal Friday show, preview the weekend. By the way, Nick Saban had some very interesting comments about why he left college football, which maybe we'll get to on Friday's show. But this was fun. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We have had record numbers the last 2 or 3 nights, so thank you to everybody. But I think that's it for tonight. Shout out to Torncrane. Shout out to Rachel, who hates my voice. Shout out to JJ Redick. You F-head, unblock me, bro. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll record 6 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to lock in. Aaron Torres Pod.